Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Oh, love me tender, love me long. The suns like to fuck with my feelings. And if I watch them anymore, I might lose my mind. Love me tender. Matthew, that was crazy. Somehow we got a win.
Yeah, that was my wedding song. Now it's ruined for forever. Thanks a lot, dude.
You're welcome. And welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Suns Jam Session podcast. My name is John, managing editor of Bright Side of the Sun. His name is Matthew, contributor on Bright Side of the Sun. And this is the Suns Jam Session podcast, the original post-game podcast on Planet Orange, who've been shooting the shit about the Suns since 2019. Appreciate you taking a little time out of your day to talk about this game that we had against the Los Angeles Clippers, which can be deceiving if you're somebody who did not watch the game and you rely on this podcast to understand what's going on and how the game occurred and what the message and the journey is behind the box score. You've come to the right place, because that final box score isn't what this journey was tonight. We were live on playback.tv. If you haven't had a chance to check out the Bright Side of the Sun playback channel, it's something that Matthew and I go on and we watch games right there with you, the fellow Jamsters, and just kind of absorb the game as it occurs, have some fun conversations about Matthew and his different things that he does.
Starbucks, going to Starbucks visits.
Starbucks. Carva likes ice cream.
Yep, it gets pretty crazy.
It does. So we highly recommend you go. We have a link down in the description below. But again, it's an interesting game to talk about tonight, to say the very least, Matthew. So should we pop into this thing?
Let's pop into it.
Okay, I already opened. What do you think?
You drinking diet sodas this late at night?
It is 9:53, so I'll stick with my watt. Nope, I have my Diet Dr. Pepper. Just an interesting game tonight, man. So let's get this thing started. The Phoenix Suns beat the Los Angeles Clippers, although it wasn't pretty in any capacity. The Clippers literally have locked up the fourth seed, so therefore they sat everybody tonight. There's no Kawhi Leonard. There's no Paul George. There's no James Harden. There's no Russell Westbrook. There's no Ivica Zubac. The Suns win 124-108, but they were tied in the fourth quarter against the second and third team members of the Clippers, which of course is going to bring me my first question.
Oi, Matty, mate, I've got to ask.
So, Matthew, I got to ask, taking a look at this game again, final score 124-108 in favor of the Phoenix Suns. You know, here we are. This is game, what, like 79 of the season? Are the Suns still trying to figure this thing out?
I think we're still trying to figure this thing out, trying to figure them, having them figure it out. I don't know what's going on, dude. I don't know. I mean, Booker says his team is full of third, or it's a bench coming out to play. They're going to play hard. So it looks like a team's still trying to figure it out. But then I'm like, maybe they're just tricking us. I keep thinking that, man. How can you not think that? Give me some hope.
It's interesting as you watch this game. And again, if you guys are, oh yeah, this is game 80, not 79. I think the way that they played tonight, they appeared to be a team that was still figuring it out. Their discombobulation on offense, throwing the ball away and just ridiculous, you know, Bradley Beal or Devin Booker drives down the lane and then they just kick it to the corner three guy, except the guy who's not standing at the corner three. So it just goes out of bound. And James Harden, who's in street clothes, is like catching the ball, seeing the way that in transition, they'll get a rebound and they'll throw the ball up to somebody, but there's no one there. And they literally, the Clippers, you know, Bones Highland's like, oh, well, thank you. And he goes and just like tags a three.
Yeah.
It looked really pathetic. It was a bad, especially the first half. You take a look at the first half performance by Phoenix, and they go 9 of 32 from beyond the arc. Okay, so what does that tell you? 9 for 32. Well, one, it's 28%. Two, they shot 32 times from beyond the arc in the first half. What that means is the Phoenix Suns are playing lazy. They're not attacking. They're just jacking up threes. And yeah, we want them to jack up threes in the rhythm of an offense, not simply just to do it. The Clippers, on the other hand, were 5 of 14 from beyond the arc in the first half, and they made, so that's 36%. But the Suns overall outscored 20 to 11 in the first half. They shot 38% from the field, whereas the Clippers shot 55% from the field. As I mentioned, the 28% to 36% from beyond the arc did out-rebound them 26 to 23. But you look at their just overall play, and you know, the Suns only turned the ball over 5 times in that first half, but they allowed 15 points off turnovers because they weren't getting back, because this young, hungry team with Boston and Highland are out there just outpacing the Suns. And points in the paint, it was 32 to 12 in the first half. 32 to 12. They have no Zubac. We have Yusuf Nurkic is back. So that they look like a team that is just trying to figure out in game 80. What are we watching?
Yeah, I mean, this was one of the worst wins ever this season. Definitely very, very
That's
hard
a great
to
way
watch.
To put it. Great. One of the worst wins of the season.
It was, or, I mean, if this is a team that's figured it out, I mean, the turnovers were limited by them. There were some errant passes. There was some bad frustration out there, some bad body language. But they did play a good fourth quarter with the 32 points of 15. So maybe they just thought, you know, coast like the last game, and then we can win it in the end, which they did pull away in the end. So that's a good way to look at it. You can say, okay, they did pull away in the end when it mattered. But it was just 42 minutes of just complete bullshit. It was total shit. There's nothing else you can really say about it, but that's just all it was. It, like, this doesn't seem like our team anymore. I don't feel any kind of connection to this team. And you know what? If they are kind of coasting, that's fine. But when you have the head coach coming out after last game, the way he was exploding, I've never seen him that frustrated, man. He wasn't exploding, but he was very, very frustrated.
There was a vein popping for sure.
Yeah, he almost did explode, maybe. I know he did in the locker room. I think Booker said it was kind of brief, but he let the team know how frustrated he is by actually making some adjustments to the lineup. We will see that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But to have that, and then also just like the comments after the game, and you just know that there's still something going on with this team. If it wasn't a big deal, if this the rest of these games, like the 3 or 4 games, didn't matter as much, they wouldn't have a head coach that was fucking frustrated that he is on the hot seat, that people on Twitter are leaking like this might be it for Frank Vogel. Like, this does matter. So if it's a team that has given up on Frank Vogel, then yeah, they're going to give up on these games. They're not going to care because they know they can't win it this year with that coach, which is just absolutely sad to even think of. So I don't want to think of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a conversation that we could potentially be having in 2 weeks if our season is over. And I hate the phrase, like, they're playing with their food tonight.
Yeah.
It's kind of happening. Like, they were playing with, and they shouldn't be. That's the frustrating thing. Obviously, we talked ad nauseum about the game last night on our post-game podcast. But at that point, especially with me driving home, I wasn't cognizant of any of the post-game quotes that occurred. And some of the quotes that came out, you know, as you mentioned, one, Frank Vogel, unbelievably frustrated. But two, it was Devin Booker saying, you know, that he's just chilling. Like, they're asking him, well, how frustrated are you following this loss at home on Fan Appreciation Night, the last home game of the regular season? And you, what's your level of frustration? He goes, chilling. You know, there's a game tomorrow. And the challenge, yes, Freddie Miramone has it right in the chat. He says they've been chilling all season. That's the problem. That's why, again, you watch this game tonight, and it is probably one of the worst wins of the season. Their only win, by the way, against the Los Angeles Clippers, because we're playing second and third team guys on their side of the ball. And like you said, for 42 minutes, it was a game. It was a game because this team is they're playing with their food, Matthew. They're just playing with their food. And you can't expect. You can't expect, and I've talked about this numerous times, that this team is just going to magically like flip this on switch and everything's going to make sense. And once we hit the playoffs, the magic will be there. It's like going to Disneyland and there's a feeling you get in your stomach and everything changes. No, you develop good habits throughout the season that translate over to successful basketball. Throwing the ball out of bounds because a guy's not standing in the corner three in game 80 is not something a team with this talent level and the expectations that they had should be doing. That's some shit the Raptors, who are tanking, should be doing, not the Phoenix fucking Suns. So to go out there and still give a shit effort and allow this team, you know, they came out, you know, Booker said it in his post-game interview with Amanda Flugrad, and he's just like, you know, they came out with high energy. You know, do you not know they're going to fucking do that?
I know. It happens all the time, right? It's inevitable. And I think the biggest mistake the Suns have done this are what they basically said this year in the postgame stuff with Bradley Beal, basically saying, like, you know, Vogel had to get into our ass for stuff like that, or to actually get going in games that seem like they don't matter. It's definitely frustrating to hear that. But the big thing for me, really, it's Book just saying the chilling thing, but I mentioned this during our playback time together, which was fun. It was a good time. I mentioned just him saying, you know, the season, you know, it doesn't matter. He mentioned that not in that same kind of quote, but it was basically the season doesn't matter as much. It matters in the playoffs. We all know we've done this in the playoffs. Are we done this in the season? It doesn't matter entering the playoffs. So I understand that. And you did say, like, I don't think the season matters. I don't remember what I really say, but the one thing that reminds me of is DeAndre Ayton, and I'm not ragging on the dude. I'm just saying. So the biggest thing for me with DA, yeah, he always got up for the biggest games, supposedly in the playoffs. But the fact that he had to continue to work hard during the season to get to where we wanted him to get, he had to do that. He had to put in that work. So it's the same thing with the Suns team. They have to put in that work. Whether or not these games matter, whether or not they locked up a seed or not, they have to fucking get into rhythm because they can't turn it on, like you said. They don't have the guys. They don't have the continuity that you want them to have by game 80. It's still not there. So it's a scary thing to go into the playoffs after seeing this game. Within the next two games, they have big games against the Kings and then also the T-Wolves. Mm-hmm. But those two games will tell us a lot about this team heading into the playoffs. But then we keep saying that. We keep saying that this whole fucking season.
And I think that a lot of the chemistry, because that's what we're essentially talking about, is chemistry and figuring it out. It was interesting. I was listening. Kellen Olson was on for Gambo, I think he was with, you know, on Burns and Gambo today. And one of the things that he was saying was how interesting it was, the different types of comments that were after the game last night. You know, KD's kind of saying, well, the fans are looking to blame somebody. Is my camera twitching?
A little bit. I'm trying to see like if there's kind of like a ghost or something.
No, it's definitely, it's the connection I got here.
Okay. Yeah.
If I go out, I go out. But KD's saying, you know, the fans want somebody to blame and we don't work that way. Booker's chilling. What's his nugget? Frank Vogel's pissed. Like, even their message coming out of the locker room isn't cohesive. So what are they saying in the locker room? Like, what's it like in there? And we were talking about this again during the playback, how different these guys are, right? You have Bradley Beal, who's like a family man. And when he's done with the game, he wants to go home and love his family. And then you have, you know, Booker and Kevin Durant, who are just, you know, passing the Dutchie upon the left-hand side as much as they want and can. So they're going out and living the nightlife. And we've seen Booker, well, you weren't with me that time, but Booker out at the Ambassador and things of that nature. So, I mean, they're out living that nightlife. So they're, you know, from a level of care and things of that nature, it might not all necessarily be there. So there's a disconnect that's probably deeply seated within the confines of this locker room. And it plays itself out on the court, where you have Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, who are both laid back vibe kind of dudes. They're not vocal leaders, and they don't, you know, they try to lead by example, but they're not, you know, so you have these different levels in a locker room that can create a lack of cohesion and chemistry, right? You watch Denver play, you watch Minnesota play, you watch OKC play. These are teams that have a common goal and play like they do, like they're all on the same page. And here we are in game 80 against second and third team Clippers. And this team looks like they're on complete. They're not on this, not just only on different pages. They're reading different books out there. And that's the challenge with this team as we prepare for the postseason, is you can't think that all of a sudden everyone's like, okay, now we're in the postseason. Let me open that book and we're all right there. And everything that we do translates appropriately and everything's going to be fine. It's not how it works. Whether you want to believe so or not, it's just not how it works.
Yeah, and I don't want to say like this just because I did hear it on The Ringer and their NBA show and also the Bill Simmons podcast, but I have never given up on the Clippers team. They showed us in a stretch where they were just so dominant. When they first got James Harden, didn't look too good, but then they had like the fucking like 20-game stretch. What did they go, like 17-3 or something like that? That's enough to show me, like, if I were a Clippers fan, like, you know what, we can get back to that. These guys are known for resting. These guys are known to like just turn it on. They can do that as long as they stay healthy. That was always their issue. So if they can stay healthy, they can do that. You also have the Mavericks too that are playing fantastic ball, that are having a great fucking time over there. Yeah. So it's just hard.
They're playing like teams.
Yeah, it's like Squidward up in his fucking rafter or whatever he's up, and they're watching SpongeBob and Patrick running around having fun outside. Like that's Suns fans are now watching all the other NBA teams, including even the Pelicans, that seem like they have their shit going in the right direction.
And you think back to the 64 win Suns and that team and how they played with that joy and happiness and accountability, and everybody was locked in. And that's because the leader in the locker room was Chris Paul, also a family man, and who just had that ability to connect with the entire team. Whereas like Kevin Durant could be the leader, but isn't. Now KD stands, tell me he's the leader of this team all you want. I don't believe you. I don't see it. And Devin Booker isn't either. He should be, but he isn't either. IT said it, that he is the most vocal guy on and off the court, but he's also the guy who's saying we're chilling. It's no big deal. Like, it is a big deal. It is a deal. I would say it's not a big deal, because again, it's not a must win game. Must win games are elimination games. But at the same time, this team is fighting for an opportunity to not be in a play-in, to not put themselves in a position where one bad night defensively determines their season. Because guess what? This team can easily have a bad night where defensively it fucks them. And we know it's coming. It's written on the wall. It's written on the wall behind us. We know it's coming. So that's the issue, that they're not seeing that big picture, I feel.
Yeah, especially against the Warriors. And I don't even want to talk about the Lakers because they're so hot and cold. I don't even know. But the Warriors are, you know, they're going to get it together just in time for the play-in. So we don't want to face that.
We shall see which way you want to go. Let's start with Devin Booker. Okay.
Big Dick Booker.
So just as misleading as the final score is the Devin Booker stat line. He was 13 of 24, including 5 of 12 from beyond the arc, 41.7%, 6-6 from the free throw line, ended with 4 total assists, ended with only 1 rebound, but ended with those 37 points on 24 shots. So again, on the surface, a stellar game from Devin Booker as it pertains to points. In that fourth quarter alone, or I'm sorry, in the second half, he had 21 of those points. In the fourth quarter, he had 12 points on 4 of 5 shooting and was the primary catalyst that excelled the Suns into a victory. But even as we were watching the game and they hit us with the graphic that he was 11 of 22 from the field for 32 points, we all were just like, no shit.
I know. I had no idea he had 37 points still right now. I had no idea. It's just because the way I feel like I'm watching him right now is like he's kind of on the outside looking in on this team. Like, it just doesn't seem like he's part of it. Obviously, all these guys kind of seem that way. But for me, this is kind of frustrating because you did see him kind of show up in a leader kind of way a couple games ago for a little bit of a stretch there. So he's kind of fallen behind a little bit, but the shot was there. We've all wanted to come back, but there's just something there that's not really booked yet. So, and I know this is what I always say, though. I always say, so I don't care about the box score, but there's just a look and a feeling that I have with the dude right now. So we'll see in the last two games if he can get back to that guy.
I really like the book ones he was wearing tonight. If those who did not, if you did not see them, they are essentially the Cortez Nikes, which are the same shoes that Forrest Gump wears. Those little Cortez, so all white with the red Nike stripe and the little blue kind of on the bottom. Really, really nice looking shoes. And then you had PJ Tucker wearing kind of the opposite of them. They were red with a white stripe. So some good book one shoe game out there tonight. But you can kind of feel, and Saul just said it in the chat, says, well, Book doesn't seem happy with the with this team. And I can feel that, and you can see it, but and he shouldn't be either. You know, that's the other side of this, is he shouldn't be happy with the performance of this team tonight. And you know, Amanda asked him in this post-game interview, you know, it's like, well, you know, how did you guys come out and redeem yourselves from last night? He's like, well, I don't know if we really redeemed ourselves. It was kind of a fight. But he's responsible for that fight. And I know it's the 37 points, but I feel like from a leadership standpoint, it just it felt weird. It felt awkward out there tonight. Something was off. Defensively, he was not good. Not good defensively. I don't have any of the advanced metrics in front of me, but I know that he was, you know, it was the guards of the Clippers who were scoring at will. Bones Highland and coming off the bench, Brandon Boston Jr. I mean, those guys combined for, what, 60 points tonight? Like, those two guys? And Booker was a defender on some on those guys. So you can't, or I mean, you can do whatever you want, but I can't look at this game from Devin Booker and be like, wow, what an amazing performance by Devin Booker. I just don't see it that way.
No, everything, it just, it's weird because if they were to lose this game, obviously we'd be even more upset. And I even asked you in the playback, I'm like, do you want them to win? You're like, yeah. I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I do too. I feel so weird. I really just feel a disconnect on the court. And it's so weird because you kind of saw this team grooving a little bit there with a 3-game win streak. Best ball they played all year, and it's just falling apart. So I don't understand which way we're going to go with this team. And like I mentioned to you on playback, like there's like that screenshot, 4-second like little gif of Bradley Beal bringing the ball up, and he just looks so fucking annoyed to start the play. And then last game, there's a picture of Booker with his head down. Like, these things might not seem like much to anybody else, but to me, it does. I think it shows a lot. It could tell a lot of behind the scenes and all those things. Whether or not they want us to believe it, whether or not they keep telling us, hey, we're just blaming players. It's, I guess we are. I don't know. What else are we supposed to do?
Well, the players play.
We have to speculate, man. We want you guys to be your best. Like, I don't know what else you want us to do.
Well, and what were we just talking about? We're talking about some of the other teams in the NBA and the chemistry that they play with and the joy that they play with. Well, guess how you understand that that's occurring? By watching the style of basketball in which they play, as well as the body language that occurs when they're on the sideline. One of the fun things about doing playback is we can bounce between games. And we were bouncing between this game and the Minnesota and the Denver Nuggets game. And yeah. You could see the joy that was occurring on the bench when things were happening throughout that highly intense game that Denver ultimately ended up winning and took the number one seed at this point of the season with. And the Suns are kind of the exact opposite. You're right. There's a disconnectedness, and it starts with Booker, but Beal feels it. Kevin Durant, every time an opposing player makes a three, he just kind of puts his head down and just kind of like jogs back because, you know, he missed an assignment. It's across the board. There's just something that's feeling off. And I know that all season we've had this inconsistent Suns team, and it's really starting to, I think under the stress of the end of the season and the pending playoffs, you're starting to potentially see the actual cracks come to the surface of this team. And the crumbling is we know we're on the verge of it, right? We know that it's just about to happen, and we can all feel it. Go to any Suns fan and ask them what their level of confidence is in this team. What's your level of confidence? And it's not going to be high. It's just going to be like, well, hope. You hear that? I hope. I mean, but
yeah, it's I don't know if you're going to keep going, but it feels weird. Like it makes me just feel strange. Like it makes me feel like I did a drug, and I haven't done drugs in a while. And I just feel like I'm on a different planet right now with this team. And it's not Orange Planet. It's not Mr. Orange's planet. It's, I don't know. I'm on Pluto. Is that a planet?
Not anymore. Not anymore. They denied that one.
I don't believe in planets anyway.
They sent one to prison.
I know.
They sent that one to prison for looking at other planets. Biscuits and the Bear, $14 in the super chat. The game should have been a blowout versus second, third string players. At least we won the fourth quarter. Then donated a couple extra bucks because he realized it was a 16-point win for the Suns, not a 14-point win. Yeah, I mean, it came down to the fourth quarter tonight for Phoenix. Yeah, and thank you, Biscuits the Bear, as per usual.
You're awesome.
This entire season, you've been nothing but money, literally. But the Suns scored 32 points in the fourth and only gave up 15 points in the fourth, and that's ultimately what determined the game, that 17-point swing, because they won by 16. That tells you they were only up by one entering the final quarter, which was made this, like we said, kind of a hard watch, a very hard watch. So you mentioned a little bit earlier, there were some changes that Frank Vogel chose to deploy. One of them was inserting this guy into the starting lineup.
Yeah, bling, bling, bling. Rolls Royce.
So Royce O'Neal gets the start instead of Grayson Allen. It is the 73rd game played for Grayson Allen this season. It is the first one coming off of the bench. Obviously, this occurred because Grayson Allen, as of late, has just been having a rough go of it. We don't know if he's in his own head. If we don't know if it's something mechanical. We don't know if he's hurt, to be quite frank. But you look at the past couple games for him, and not great performances from beyond the arc. If you go back, let's say seven games, right? He's shooting 26.5% from three in the last seven games. So the choice is to go with Royce O'Neal tonight. He ends up playing a total of 33 minutes. He's 6 of 12 from the field and 3 of 9 from beyond the arc. He has 15 points, 7 total rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, one turnover, one block shot, in typical Royce O'Neal fashion, stuffing the stat sheet in every capacity of the word. Thoughts on the adjustment by Frank Vogel to go with Royce O'Neal over Grayson Allen, Matthew?
Honestly, to me, it was kind of surprising because in the way that Grayson Allen is currently shooting the ball, which, like you just said, is a really bad clip, I think that I would just let him shoot himself out of it. That's the way I was thinking. I'm like, he'll get out of it. He'll be fine. But then honestly, like, it's a defensive thing, probably getting basically just taken out of the game so early. Last game, you kind of saw just how Grayson Allen's been struggling defensively within the last four or five games against highly competitive teams. And it happened again tonight, even against Bones Highland and the other guard. So Boston Jr., just taking it to him. So I think Royce is there for rebounding, for defense at the perimeter, helping out with Nurk rebounding. So I'd like to continue to see that. I think it's very strange how it's happened so late in the season. But this team needed a drastic change. This team needed to just, you gotta do what you gotta do right now. If you're Frank Vogel, you gotta pull out all the fucking shit to really get this thing turned around.
Yeah, this is here we are, game 80.
I know.
And we're still trying to find ourselves, right?
I mean, we always are, right?
I guess, and I talked about this a few podcasts ago. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to Royce O'Neal starting because he provides a better defensive presence, and he proved that tonight at some points, not a ton, but he does and is a better defender for the Phoenix Suns. It gives him that better option, and Grayson Allen somewhat benefited from it. He was 2 of 5 from the field, and both of those were 3-pointers, so he ended with 6 points. He had couple assists, couple rebounds, had a team high plus 18 coming off the bench. I think that was him. Yep. Jeez, drag racing down outside of Matthews. It's either drag racing or the cops that are always outside your place. But the change, it coincides with the change to not play Drew Eubanks at fucking all, which, again, I mentioned this on the podcast last night. It sucks that it's this late in the season that's finally occurring, but it was the right move because Drew Eubanks is just not consistent, and although he has the ability to have an explosive dunk here or there, the guy is lost, and he's slow on defense. He gets beat a lot. So at least we saw some Thaddeus Young out there tonight. So Royce O'Neal, Thaddeus Young are the adjustments that Frank Vogel chose to go with. Thad only played 13-16 in this game, but those are 13 minutes and 16 seconds that we didn't have to see Drew Eubanks, Matthew.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yeah, and I think we're all very happy with that, but we saw the moments with Thad where he played some big minutes for us. Even tonight, he was noticeable. He had a really great pass, too, early on in the game. Mm-hmm. Running the fast break, took the ball all the way down to the painted area, went up in the air, hesitated a little bit, found the cutter. Beautiful play, but you know he's going to be a good rebounder. You know he's going to be a big body down there and play some decent minutes, but anything – over Eubanks, and I guess he's taking up Bol Bol minutes too. I don't know.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on that? You know, John Tran asked in the chat, you know, how do we feel about Bol being garbage time man again?
So to me, obviously the biggest Bol Bol fan, love this season. I think on it, he had a chance, Bol Bol did, but watching him the last few times where he just kind of, you know, settled for mid-range jump shots, like Kevin Durant shots, and just did nothing really much else, you know, just playing the 13 minutes per game. I kind of struggled to favor him to be taking or to be playing minutes over even Thaddeus Young at this point heading into the playoffs, because I think he had his opportunity. I think he had really fucking great games for this team. He got the team back into a lot of games, helped them win victories. He helped them win games. But the thing is like he had his chance, his opportunity to really solidify himself as like the seventh or eighth guy off the bench. I just didn't see it in the last few outings. Unless he comes in the next two games and proves me wrong, I didn't really see it heading to the playoffs, so I'm not surprised. And it hurts to say that. It really does.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, you take a look in his last 15 games, and he's had decent numbers, but his defensive impact is what's really, really hurt him, I feel. And he's now in that same class as, like, Josh Okogie. Like, remember Josh Okogie? Yeah, he's still on this team, but he's a garbage time player. Yeah. So, as Frank Vogel tries to figure out minutes as we have two big games left before the playoffs, I don't think he knows what the fuck he's going to do relative to rotations. And that's what's scary, is we're this far in the season and he still doesn't know how to manage the pieces around him, because he has to make these changes because the guys that he's been trusting in, that he's been playing so long, Bol Bol, Eubanks, he hasn't been getting consistency from them. And you're not necessarily going to get quote-unquote consistency from second-team players. That's why they're second team players. But at the same time, you need to have confidence that they can at least help you survive minutes. And they haven't been helping them survive minutes. That's the challenge that we've had with them. So, you know, a lot of Bol Bol minutes, if you go back, a lot of negative plus minus, and that has to do with lineups around him and things of that nature. But at the same time, it's unfortunate for the Phoenix Suns at this point in the season that they are trying to adjust the rotations because defensively, and that's where the challenge is for Bol Bol. And I know that everybody loves the offense, and I see Michael Kolb, he's like, Bol Bol's awesome, bullshit. Yeah. Watch him on fucking defense, dude. Watch him. Everyone watches him on offense once they throw him the ball and he shoots a three, everyone's like, ooh, the light is bright. Watch him on defense. I'm just telling you. I want him to do well.
It was way
watch him on defense.
Yeah, it's just because the competition was a little bit better, a little bit more difficult in the last few games for him, and it's just he plays himself out of the game, and that's what I didn't want to see. But then I saw it, and I'm like, damn, dude, because I want him to play. I think
he's
that energy guy you need off the bench. But if he's not
10 points coming off the bench, like give me that all the time.
And if he's
like,
not,
don't give up 15.
He just defensively is bad, but even offensively, I didn't like what I saw. So.
That's the Bol Bol story.
Delicious definition,
make them boys go crazy. Oh. So
what's this guy? 19 rebounds.
No Nurkic last night. And we felt it. And tonight he comes, he plays 30 minutes. He has 3 points, man. just 3 points for Nurkic. Oh, but he had 19 rebounds and 10 assists. We were talking about it. So there was a game that we were playing on the playback TV while we were watching the game. And the game was describe each player in 2 words or less. Right. And so I started the game with you and I'm like, describe each player in 1 word or less. And you're and I'd ask you a guy and you'd be like, you give me a 3 word answer. I'm like, okay, yeah. Well, let's do 2 words or less. And then I asked you a player and you're like, misunderstood. I'm like, that's 1 word, Matthew. Like, Jesus, get the game right.
Misunderstood. I'm just misunderstood.
No one understands me or takes no the time to understand me. The 2 words that I was using for Jusuf Nurkić is best player, consistent player. Like he has his challenges, Lord knows it. But man, like nights like tonight, he was our best distributor. He had 10 assists. Our next best distributor was Royce O'Neal with 5 assists. Right, like yeah. It was just it was a Bosnian beast kind of night, man.
Yeah, I mean, we do forget how good he is facilitating the ball. I mean, even last game, we might have just lost that game because he didn't play. We do struggle so much without him, and the players do admit it. I think that's the one thing they're honest about. And I think the one word I chose for him was stool, whichever way you want to take it.
And I was just like, stool as in poop?
I just automatically thought stool. So
we're playing word, cool. Word association.
Yeah, how awesome. And then what did I have for Kevin Durant, I said volume.
Nurkiles. Yeah, Kevin Durant, you said volume because he takes a lot of shots. Second on the team with total shots. And we'll talk about KD here just very momentarily. But Jusuf Nurkić was the only guy tonight who I felt was like, oh, shit, I'm playing against Miles Plumlee. I'm going to fucking just dominate the boards and then pass out to open shooters. He's the only guy who understood what his role was when they're playing against shit players. Everybody else like, hold on, I got to guard this guy?
I thought
because he's a second or third team guy, he just didn't need to be guarded. So I'm just going to let him run all day long to the lane. And then once they're like, oh, shit, he's going to run to the lane? All right, I'm going to drop every time. And Bones Highland's like, okay, well, I'll just fucking shoot threes, man. Like, it was like flabbergasting to watch how in tune members of the Phoenix Suns were with what their level of competition was going to be, except for Nurk. Nurkilicious made them boys go crazy.
And he didn't shoot, and I don't want him to shoot. Like, I don't want him to force the ball at the rim. The one for one's perfect. Go over one. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't mention that. He had 3 points. He was 1 of 1 from the field. One shot attempt for Nurk. Perfect. 21 shot attempts for Kevin Durant.
Who the heck are you?
Yeah, I'm Kevin Durant. I know who I am.
Did anybody see a sniper? Did anybody see anything?
I'm one of the best players that ever played a game.
Listen, Jamsters, you're in the chat telling me it was Mason Plumlee. Mason Miles, who gives a shit? It's a Plumlee, okay?
A flat face.
I saw him at the game yesterday, and I was like, I looked at the profile of him standing there, and it's literally like forehead, nose, and chin are all at a 90-degree angle.
Awesome.
And he looks like a villain in Dun 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 GoldenEye. Like the old GoldenEye on N64 graphics when you have to go play Jaws in like the pyramid. Like that's who Miles Plumlee looks like. Like if he was on the Suns, or Mason Plumlee, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Mason Plumlee, if he was on the Suns, that would be his drop. He'd be like, burn it, burn it.
You turn around
him walking like,
yeah, with his flat face. He'd turn around.
And it's got the hands that are all like, you know,
yeah,
pixeled out and such. But, But Kevin Durant, yeah, I like what Francisco says in the chat because I agree with this. KD looks tired and mad.
Yeah, always.
You know? I mean, he just looks tired and mad right now.
He does look tired. And it's not like he looks tired like, oh, I can't wait for the playoffs. He just looks like I'm fucking tired, dude. Like, I don't know. There's nothing from him, man. I don't notice him. I don't know. I don't want to say anything. But also, I wanted to bring up, like, how intimidating would it be when he sits in that fucking chair in the locker room and you're the first one to walk in to Kevin Durant to ask a question? Like, he's just sitting there chilling and you walk over next to him waiting for everybody else to come. That'd be scary. So
yeah, well, I was talking to Trevor Booth from Clutch Points last night, and it was halftime and the Suns obviously were getting boat raced, and he's like, dude, like, I want to ask Kevin Durant about his defense this year because he's had great defense, but I can't ask him tonight because he's clearly going to be pissed off. And to your point, Matthew, it's like, you don't want to be the guy going up to Kevin Durant and like trying to, because he's like, I'm working on a story about his defense. I want to get his perspective on it, but he's going to be pissed. I'm like, Trevor, here's the answer, dude. Just go around and start asking all the media members what their thoughts are, and that's your story. It's like Dwayne Rankin says that Kevin Durant's defense is this. John Voida from Brightside says this. Dana Scott from the Arizona Republic says, I'm like, he started laughing. I'm like, that's the angle you got to do, man, because you're not going to get what you want from KD, because he does look old. He does look tired. He does look grumpy. You know, he kind of looks like Grumpy Durant. Now, he was 10 of 21 from the field, 2 of 9 from beyond the arc, and ended with 24 points, 9 total rebounds, 3 assists, 4 turnovers, 1 steal, couple block shots, a couple great block shots, but really took a long time for him to get going. Overall, was 0 of 6 from the 3-point line in the first half, 3 of 12 overall in that first half. It wasn't until the second half where he started to cook a little bit and was 7 of 9 from the field. And this is like reminiscent of last night, right? Like the run stopper that is Kevin Durant is having a hard time getting going. And it's like, kind of like you said, like old man stuff, right? He's old, he's grumpy, get off my lawn in the first half. Then he kind of loosens up a little bit, and then he comes out and he plays with the intensity and the fire that this team needs to be successful. And he hit some big shots in the fourth quarter too, when the team was struggling to put the Clippers away. It was KD who hit a couple shots that ultimately started to get the juices flowing in himself and in the offense. In that fourth, he was 3 of 4 from the field and had 7 points. So he and Booker combined to go 7 of 9 from the field for 19 points of the Suns 32. So that's why, you know, again, that's the story for Kevin Durant, 24 points. I'll take it all day long. But just, you know, from a body language standpoint, that's what we're talking about. From a body language standpoint, he just looks kind of like he's the guy who I feel is like, I just want to get the playoffs. We need to get to the playoffs. I've been doing this for 16 fucking years. The only thing that matters to my legacy isn't regular season. It's the playoffs and how I perform there. Yeah. So we just got to get there. And I think that the rest of the team has adopted that mentality, and that's a dangerous mentality to possess.
That's what we're talking about on playback, because you know the way Book was playing with Chris Paul here, he was all out every game. Even that 64 winning season, like he was just he had to fucking like tear someone's ass up, dude, every game. That's the way he was with Chris Paul. Now he is laid back. Now he's like KD in a way. I didn't think he was that easily influenced. I thought his game would actually, you know, go up another level with KD. Mm-hmm. But obviously didn't really this year. But you know, I think KD is more like the Tin Man in a way, where he's just kind of like oiling himself up in the first half, and then he gets going, right? He's skipping down, falling on the floor.
He's that's off to see guy. The wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. Yeah, that's a straw guy. That's the scarecrow.
But you know what, Trevor, like with the defense, I think honestly, if he's grumpy and you bring up his defense and how good it's been, that would make him happy. It's like, it's a question you'd probably really would love to answer.
Well, I love how his defense has been throughout the season. I've mentioned that multiple times, but unless he has 45 points, the KD stands aren't happy anyways. Oh, geez. Oh, geez. Mama, I will say one thing. I was hanging out in L.A. tonight, okay, down there at the old Crypto.com arena, but I couldn't go as myself wearing my son's jam, Arizona license plate. That would get me punched in the face.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
Matthew, where is she? Where is the dedication that this Suns team needs to play with? And the intensity and the grit. Oh, I guess you don't know, or you're on mute, or you don't give a shit.
I don't know if you will ask. I'm always confused whether you're really talking to me or you're just talking to the
subreddit. I said Matthew.
The subredditors.
I did. I will say I just got up real quick to grab my mask, and my dog like looked at me like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? Anyways,
here that is what they had to say in Los Angeles tonight, the city of angels. Nurkic is the only son earning a paycheck at the moment. If we beat the Buns with our bench, I'm finna nut.
Finna. That's a funny instead of fitting.
That was good, yeah.
God, the Buns are such a punchable team. O'Neal throwing up bricks and their bench acting like he's going to drain them. Laugh my ass off. Suns are Buns.
So they clearly have a nickname for the Suns with the Clipper fan base. They call them the Buns. Yeah, and it
rhymes, I love it.
Rhymes with it.
Bill's face says that wasn't a foul last night. Keep coffee away from that dirty shit, Alan, please. I am a Suns fan. Please end this pathetic excuse for a super team once and for all. I hate this stupid fucking team. I'm praying for a Bones 50 burger at this point.
I mean, so we have Suns fans going into their subreddits to end our season.
Clippers subreddit.
By the way, this guy's name is Pisto One Pete, P-E-T. So P-I-S-T-O, the number one, P-E-E-T. Look him up on Reddit and give him shit for going into a Clippers subreddit and saying that. We got you, man. The Suns jam session is always watching for traitors. You Benedict Arnold piece of shit. I love watching KD and am completely indifferent about Beal, but Booker can get fucked all day.
Indifferent about Beal.
I like KD. I don't really care about Booker or Beal, but Booker can fuck himself all day. That's a good comment.
Bones fucked up Booker too. How can you not love him?
It was a Bones Highland love fest. Obviously, Bones, 37 good points, move. A season high, was hunting for that 40 spot, taking a bunch of threes at the very end, but ended going one of seven from the field in that final quarter. But he was overall on the night 15 of 29, 6 of 12 from beyond the arc, and he started 6 of 6, so he ended 0 of 6 from beyond the arc. For those 37 points and 9 assists. I mean, everybody, it was just a skeet fest in the subreddit for the Clippers over Bones Highland, how he was performing. He had the one play where he went for the ball at the same time as Booker. Booker hit the ground.
Get your bitch ass up off the ground.
And then the last comment that we had was
Kings fan here.
Jesus, God. Man. Like, get a life, everybody.
I think Bones Highland is the best player in the NBA and will be using my MVP vote on him. Thanks.
The Suns Jam Session subreddit stakeout.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the subreddit stakeout brought to you by your Jeep and Eagle dealer. Hello and welcome to Movie Foam, brought to you by New Times and Power 92 FM. If you know the name of the movie you'd like to see, press 1 now. To browse through current movie titles, press 2 now. If you know the Theater Express code, press pound and the Theater Express code.
Beep, beep.
That's the way it used to sound back when you used to have to call in on the phone to find out what movies were playing. And it was...
I barely remember that, but yeah.
Hello and welcome to Movie Foam. What's anything else you got in your notes, Matthew?
I'm sure I don't have any notes.
Random stuff. Oh yeah. I have random stuff. Let's see here. GoldenEye, we got to that. Nope, I got to all my notes except for a conversation we'll have about the playoffs here momentarily. So let's hand out some Jamstar.
Jamstar of the game.
All right, Jamsters, a reminder, subscribe, rate and review, or don't. But if you do, we will read your comments right here on the podcast. And we have some new comments from Clouds839. Gave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Says the best of the best. You want a good Suns podcast? Check these guys out. Void and Lissy are like the Rick and Morty of Suns podcast.
I love that. That's
me
good.
Too. Me too. Thank you for
That's
that.
Awesome.
Clouds839. Low-key hilarious show with really informed takes. The more you listen, their personalities become just as fresh and interesting as the analysis. Check out the drops they have for each player. Frankie Vogel needs to be a song on Spotify. Subreddit stakeout is gold. They're really good at defining trends and the roles that make up this team, i.e. KD as the run stopper. If you watch the games, you'll see it a little bit differently. Easily the most entertaining Suns podcast. Long live Suns Jam. So thank you for that, Clouds 839.
That was awesome.
We also have J Pelton Vegas says Jamstar podcast. This pod is the Jamstar of podcasts, Suns podcast. Kermit is the bomb. Love the collab with Suns Geek after home game. So again, thank you, Jay Pelton Vegas. And we also have one from D Batars. I hope I got that right. It says best Suns cast. Even though your Christian Bale sounds more like former Minnesota mayor Jesse the Body Ventura, I still love your guys' podcast. Yeah, I need to watch The Dark Knight again just to get the tone back, because I am turning into kind of like Jesse Ventura on this.
Oh, are you losing it?
I don't know.
I don't know.
So who are you giving the jam star to in this one, Matthew?
I'll give it to Booger.
I'll give it to Booger as well.
Oh.
Devin Booker. Write that in the old notes here.
Excuse me, man.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. It's like you had no idea that we were even in the middle of a podcast. You know what? I might change it to Nurk, because I'm seeing some of the jamsters saying I do like that. Saul says Jamstar equals Nurk. Voight ripping other teams fans, being an Eclipse subreddit. No irony at all. Love it.
I know.
Yeah, well, I'm there on research. I'm not there.
Yeah,
saying
it's part of his job, man.
I'm not saying end my team season, please. K Cassidy 90 says need a Nerf jersey. Francisco C says Jamstar was bones, sadly. Freddie says Jamstar the game. Police for catching that orange Chester molester, Mr. Orange. Ouch. KD obviously from David Ray. Interesting. Nerk for show Jamstar. Nerk from Seth. Book for Jamstar from Fumar El Oso. Nerk from C Bucks the Bar. Nurkic it is from Elmer. Jamstar is no one from John Tran. Booker, obviously, from David Ray now. He says, obviously. Kawhi, Jamstar, because he didn't play. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Nurk, because 19 fucking rebounds and 10 assists. He gets my Jamstar. So up next for the Suns on Friday night, they will be playing the Sacramento Kings. Again, if you want to join us on playback.tv, the Bright Side of the Sun channel, please do so. We have a link in the description below, whether you're watching on YouTube or if you're listening on our podcast feed. Please join there, head over there, join, become a member, watch us with us. I think it's a 7:30 game. And the thing I want to talk about to end the podcast for the last about 10 minutes is talking about who do we want the Suns to play in the playoffs. So with our win tonight, we are still behind the New Orleans Pelicans, and we are currently in the seventh seed. Now, simultaneously, you have the Nuggets, who are now the first seed by way of beating the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are ahead of the Oklahoma City Thunder by way of tiebreaker right now. And what's interesting for them is they have the same record. They're in the same division. So the tiebreakers, the way it works is it starts with head-to-head. And Minnesota and Oklahoma City tied head-to-head two apiece this year. Okay, so then it becomes the division record. The division record, they're both 12-4. So it's tied there. So the third tiebreaker is the conference record. Minnesota's 37-14, whereas the Oklahoma City Thunder are 35-16. So Minnesota's currently in that two spot, right? The Clippers and Dallas don't matter to us anymore, because they will most likely be the 4 and 5 seeds and will play each other in some way. Either the Clippers will be the 4 seed and Dallas will be the 5 seed, or vice versa. The 6th seed is the Pelicans right now. They currently would play the Oklahoma City Thunder. We are the 7th seed, and we'll have, if the season were to end today, we would host a play-in game. We are a game and a half up on the Sacramento Kings. So if we lose out and the Kings win out, they will jump us for that. So we're pretty much locked into that 7th seed. We are a half game behind New Orleans, however. New Orleans plays the Kings tomorrow. I believe that's who they play. So maybe it's not. But New Orleans plays tomorrow. So tomorrow night's game for the New Orleans Pelicans.
No, they do.
So they play the Kings. So if they beat the Kings, we are the 7th seed, pretty much guaranteed, unless they lose their last two games and we win our next two games, because then we would jump them. But if we tie them, if we both go 1-1 and we tie them, I don't know. Something's going to happen. So who do you want to play?
Well, I'll continue to stay with the Thunder. I think it's very difficult. All these opponents, it comes down really for me is obviously the experience, but like we talked about in playback, yeah, the Wolves don't really have it. I mean, Gobert's been in the playoffs almost every year in his career. But, I mean, if you're going into it with the T-Wolves, the franchise that, you know, won the play-in last year, or it was last year, right?
And 2 years ago.
2 years ago. And celebrated like they won a championship. Even Karl-Anthony Towns, when he is exited from the playoffs early on, he doesn't really seem like a guy that wants to stick around too much, too long into the playoffs. He might be coming back too, so that's a little scary. But I'm going to say the Thunder just because Anthony Edwards, that's a guy that I wouldn't want to face over SGA. I think SGA is awesome. I think SGA is an MVP candidate. I just have the feeling that Edwards is going to turn on even more in the playoffs, and he's going to be almost unbeatable in certain games, and I don't think we can contain that guy. So I'm going to stick with the Thunder there.
So do you think we can contain SGA?
I don't think so. No, absolutely not.
Who's better, SGA or Ant?
I think SGA is, but I'm just saying. Why do you want to play him? Because in these playoffs, just someone goes off. There's always that guy that just is a fucking killer. And you know what? Going into the season, obviously we didn't think the Wolves would be this good. But 2 years ago, I was like Anthony Edwards. I'm like, I don't want to face that guy in the playoffs. I don't want to face that guy out west. Now I think it's his turn to turn it on. His time to turn it on. And that's nothing against SGA. I think he's fantastic. I just think that the level of power that guy has to really turn a game around, I think he's just going to kill the Suns if we have to play him. But honestly, I don't see the Suns winning any matchups. So
fair. So Jamsters, if you're watching along live, let us know in the chat who you prefer, the preferable opponent for the Suns in the first round is. Matthew says Oklahoma City. If I was to rank them, I would say third on my list is Oklahoma City. I don't want to play Oklahoma City. Because, and you're right, and that's what a lot of people are saying right now. It's like, well, you know, this is their first run into the playoffs. And, you know, with their lack of experience comes opportunity for the Suns. Oklahoma City swept the Suns this year. Oklahoma City swept the Nuggets this year. And like I said, they're tied with the Minnesota Timberwolves 2-2. This is a good team. It's a good team that is young and can run the Suns off the court. That's how they swept the Suns this year. They ran us off the court. Even with backups and scrubs, they ran us off the court. I don't want them. The second team I would like to play is the Nuggets. The Suns beat them 2 out of 3 games, but Nurkic can – no one can contain Jokic, but Nurkic can body him up. And for a series, that could be somewhat effective. Do I think we would win that series? I don't. Denver's a better team. But I think we would stand a better chance playing them than Oklahoma City, right? The Wolves are the team that's, in my opinion, an obvious choice for numerous reasons. One, the Suns are 2-0 against the Wolves with a game to play. That game to play is this Sunday, which is a game in which Karl Anthony Towns could potentially return. He could return Friday. He could return Sunday. But the rumor mill is he is returning before the postseason begins, right? So Karl Anthony Towns is going to be reinserted into this team. And they're going to have to figure out how to reinsert him in the first round of the playoffs. Sounds like a perfect time to play this team, right? It's the same thing that goes back a couple years ago when we were playing the Los Angeles Lakers, when Anthony Davis was injured a ton, and they had to reinsert him right before they played the Suns. Suns won that series in 6 games. Obviously, he got re-hurt and re-aggravated an injury, and that was part of that. But given the fact that the Suns have played well against one of the best defenses in the team in the league, but have played well against Anthony Edwards and Rudy Gobert and the Minnesota Timberwolves, coupled with the fact that they're going to be reinserting Karl Anthony Towns, who is kind of somewhat a head case as a player, does have an ego, could create some ripple effect. That's why Minnesota's who I would prefer to play in the first round. And it's not even a question for me, not even a question. I think it's the best chance of us winning. Now, granted, the Suns are going to have to TCOB, right? They're going to end up with that 7 seed when the season's the statistics say that's the best odds of occurring for Phoenix, right? They still have to win a home game to survive the play-in to get an opportunity to play the 2 seed. And if Minnesota remains the 2 seed, which they currently are, if the season ended today, that's who they'd be playing. I say you go for that. And that brings another important question. If that's the case, if that's how the Suns see it, and they have an opportunity to play against the Minnesota Timberwolves on Sunday, and if they lose that game and Minnesota wins the game and they're guaranteed the 2 spot, do you think that the Suns would just sit their guys and we'd have IT and Thad Young out there running high pick and rolls? Or do you think that the Suns are going to use every chance they can to try to test out rotations? It's a question I don't expect you to answer right now, but it's something we have to think about and something we will be keeping our eyes on as the rest of this playoff picture comes together. But that's where I stand. I told everybody I would let you know after the two Clippers games where I think this team is and where I think I want them to play. That's where I end.
Okay, yeah, I love all of that. I really do. The only thing is I don't like taking stuff away from this season. I really don't like the matchups and, you know, defeating the Wolves we did very convincingly. That's nice. I always try to like paint a picture of like how I see things playing out with different players and stuff.
Yeah.
So I really don't base my shit off of this regular season matchups. So that's why I kind of went the Thunder route, just because I can kind of see it going that way. But yeah, I don't know. I think
that SGA is going to explode in this playoffs, man. He is tailor-made for playoff basketball. Tailor-made his game is, and yeah. I don't want it to be at the expense of the Suns. I can see we have did not look good against OKC at any point during the season. You have to like for me, I take some. You can't take necessarily but all the results.
We haven't looked good at all though, like until we, like those but, three
but,
games.
But we have. Like we looked good against Denver. Yeah. We look good against
we have, but
Minnesota.
It doesn't play into the playoffs. It doesn't play into the playoffs.
No, because it starts to become a different game, right?
Yeah, it does. And like I think SGA is gonna explode. He is. I just think Edwards is gonna be on the next tier this playoffs here, this playoff round. Like he's gonna be the
and
next
that's where
tier.
I feel
SGA will be. So
that's where I feel SGA will be easily. Okay. Like that we could do like a water bet on that one. It's like who's gonna average more.
and I want the Thunder to go because that was my prediction. Western Conference Finals, I do, but I'm getting the feeling now that it's not gonna work like I thought.
No, they're gonna be in the Western Conference Finals, they're gonna play the Suns in the first round, they're gonna beat them. Like
yeah. Like I want.
You're right. It's just going to be at the expense of your team, unfortunately.
Yeah. I was going to say the Suns.
So on that note, Jamsters, we're going to go ahead and get out of here. I think Matthew and I have been sitting down for like 5 hours now because we did do the Playback TV. I plugged it like three times. We do have an exciting announcement that we'll most likely be talking about on Friday, a new partnership that we have coming your way, something new and exciting for fans and some ticket offers and things of that nature. So make sure you tune into the podcast on Friday, wherever you consume the podcast, whether you watch along live or listen at a later time. Just hang out with us. You know, the best way to support the pod, as I always say, is hang out with us. Like, subscribe, rate, review. You can follow me at Darth Voida on Twitter. You can read my writing at brightsideofthesun.com. You can follow Matthew
at Mr. Orange.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And what are people supposed to do, Matthew?
Go home and love your family, please.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.